Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports. It's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just joning on the junkies. Yeah, it's bit season, what a time to be alive. Bit season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, aha.
Welcome to Bit Season episode 20. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdezzi.
I'm Awad.
And we have a very special guest with us today.
Yeah, clap it up, biddies. This is the Super Bowl of guests.
One of the junkies, John Auville.
Hello, Ricky.
John.
Thank you for having me on my maiden voyage on Bit Season.
Appreciate Valdez jumping to the opportunity and asking you today when he realized we are light on content.
Trust me, it was a late booking. It was a walk into the bathroom. Hey, Cakes, want to do Bit Season today?
I accosted Cakes at the coffee machine asking him if he had time for Bit Season. And I know that this is post-Cakes classic, so he's in a hurry to race home and take an epic 90-minute nap.
Well, let me just say that I've been doing a lot of extra bits lately. I did AWOD show over the weekend.
Thank you.
And now I'm doing Bit Season, and I'm not seeing any ancillary income rolling in. I mean, like, ADs might be coming in, but...
Well, let me tell you something. Adam works on the show as a producer and has done 20 episodes with us. And it's not been paid.
So he's still waiting.
Yeah, so wait in line with it.
Understood.
I like that Cakes is joining us because Valdez is always hyping me up about, we should be on the air every day. We can host a four-hour show on 980. And it's our second show of the week. Right. We got no material and we're booking Cakes.
I just want to let the biddies know that I am the only one who added anything to the rundown between Tuesday's show and Thursday's show.
You're it? You're the only one providing the content.
Awad and I were free rollers, you know, like we just off the cuff.
Hey, Drab has taken on the Eric persona of talent, where he just shuffles into the studio to do Bit Season and say, you know what, I'll figure it out.
Hey, talented talent.
I guess so.
All right, Cakes. Yeah, we've been wanting to get you on for a while, and I'm glad you could do it today. And it's a good week to have you on because it's been a lot of sports talk. And yesterday on the show, it was obviously the branding day, and we were all patting ourselves on the back saying, Jason Wright should have hired radio guys, and we would have blew this celebration of a new name out of the water.
Because let's be honest, it was a dud. It was anticlimactic.
Yeah.
I'm having problems with that one. And there was no urgency to it. And... in 25 years, you guys have done a lot of bits. You guys have done a lot of promotion.
Tons of them.
You guys have had huge parties, huge shindigs, huge events for listeners. I mean, you guys had listeners out in Vegas. You guys do the Poker Open every year. So you guys know how to plan something. And it was a little offensive that the Redskins organization or Washington Football Team organization, a.k.a. Jason Wright, didn't reach out to us for any kind of input.
Well, they did reach out, I think, to a very high-profile marketing agency in New York. People who will probably make commercials.
Well, okay. If that's true, and that was the plan they came up with,
get
to
their
have
money back.
The director's chairs out in the middle of FedEx Field with no real pomp or circumstance, then that marketing firm is stealing money from the Washington Commanders.
And you know, that should make you feel good as a producer, by the way.
Why is that?
Because those no talent hacks up in New York for the Today Show sat around in their post show meeting storyboarding this idea, going, yeah, we should be good with some director's chairs.
Well, I tell you, that's why it was such a bad idea to go on the Today Show. The more and more we thought about it is because that's just one of 12 segments a day to them. Like it was nothing to them. They do this every single day. They don't have the time to spend on this big blowout for the Redskins.
Segment producer? They don't just have executive
producers. I know. They have segment producers. And
who is the segment producer? I need to know that.
I don't know.
You want to call them out?
Yeah, I want to call them out, and I want to submit my application.
Well, part of it's
Benji's
on,
job.
Part of it's on Washington too. Like, part of it's on the Commanders as far as you got to have a little bit of innovation and some flash to your presentation. Just sitting out in the middle of the field with a disinterested looking Doug Williams and Jonathan Allen, and then flashing up 5 seconds worth of the new uniforms on screen.
Right.
It's just not enough to get it done after you're planning up this for 18 or 19 months, and right. that's the best you can come up with.
Let's be honest. The lack of creativity was stunning.
Valdez.
And I feel like, to be honest, this show, all six of us, seven when Adam's here,
right, mm-hmm.
is one of the most creative media outlets in the area.
Oh, I like that. Hey,
do you know the Valdez came up to me today and said, I'm being dead serious. I think I'm going to have a one-on-one meeting with Jason Wright. because J.P. Finley told Jason about his tank idea on the sideline.
Look, to be honest, if Master P can have a tank in a music video, Washington football team can get a tank on their sideline.
There should have been
if
something.
Jerry Williams can put a tank in Cole Fieldhouse, they can get a tank.
We're talking about a franchise that I haven't seen the latest valuation, but I think it's around $4.2 billion.
Okay? Yeah.
Billion. You could have done better than what we saw yesterday.
I just think that our creativity, it was on full display yesterday. And how a matter of minutes we had 10 better ideas than what happened.
That is true, but that's not our wheelhouse.
Like, and I'm waiting for my email from Jason Wright to set up a fancy lunch.
Well, that's what I'm confused. Are you mad at NBC Four? Are you mad at Washington football team organization?
No. I'm not mad at NBC Four. NBC Four didn't.
You mean the Today Show?
The Today Show, NBC.
I'm mad at both. I'm mad at both.
Because I feel like NBC hired a clown and the clown showed up with no tricks. It's Washington's fault. They showed up with nothing. You know, it was a dud. There was no reveal.
Well, it's both parties' fault, because Washington thought that, well, they'll just take care of everything. And then New York thought, they said, all right, let's just get this segment over with and then get to Hoda's top 10 workout.
Right, let's crack a bottle of wine at 9 a.m.
Yeah. Like, doesn't this make you think, though, that you're in the wrong profession?
No. You mean in the wrong
way? Why aren't you in marketing? Why aren't you in New York wearing
trust me.
Working for a Red Peg and a chance for life.
Yeah.
Big silly.
Look, if Brad's hiring, I need to float resume out there.
I'm sure Brad could always use innovative, creative minds.
Yeah, but trust me, I thought about it yesterday. I actually texted CK. You don't know this.
this is good.
He always does embarrass himself when he reveals something.
I texted CK and I pitched the idea to him. I said, we should do a redo in 2 weeks and basically re-release the name like a radio station would, and show with pomp and circumstance and show how much promotion we could do and how much better the name reveal would have been if you put creative people on it instead of what they did. Show them what we could do in 2 weeks that it took them for 2 years to do.
The promise. In 2 weeks, no one's going to care.
I know, yeah. But I'm just saying, I think it would be a good idea to flex our brains a little bit and flex our mojo and flex our creative muscle.
Hey, I got to say, I've been around Valdez when he pitches these ideas to CK. Yeah. And I'm not kidding you, 90% of the time, they're so uncomfortable, I have to walk out of the room.
It's a big cringe-a-thon.
It's so cringy. It's always always involving scat.
I'm not going to lie. When I was writing down my 100 ideas for Jason Wright, pitching during the meter.
100 ideas.
I thought about how I'm going to pitch him the massive comm shot.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is your wheelhouse.
Time to fast forward to the comm shot.
Yeah, that sounds like a Valdez idea. Right there.
Hey, we have Peter North before the game walk out in the middle of the field for the coin toss and say, get ready for the comm shot.
Yeah, you need to be like working for a marketing company for like Pornhub or something. Yeah.
That's Brazzers.
That's your wheelhouse. Yeah. All right?
They'll J-Mac to hire you.
Yeah, yesterday was a big dud. I think some of the events that we've had over the years, the spring break party is that the top of the line for the Junkies? Like the
in
best
terms
events,
of
like
probably, as far as like a spectacle and just a big huge scene.
Yeah,
probably. I mean, I can't think of
That was before my time. I don't even like to hear
that. The 106.7 The Fan Live was pretty well organized when we were all on stage.
Yeah, but that it didn't have as much components, I guess you could say.
Those weren't that fun.
The components of the spring break party.
Yeah, there are a lot of more moving parts in the spring break party.
Yeah, you have a whole schedule to adhere to. You're basically dealing with musical acts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're dealing with
Take us back through that, because I know it was before AWOD's time and I went to a few of them, but I think I missed the absolute heyday of them.
I mean, they were some crazy scenes, man. Because we would pack the State Theater. I mean, I don't know what the capacity of that place is, but 1,000 people.
I think they would have more than what they would allot for. Because remember, they had the upstairs too.
Right.
So people would literally just hang out in the rafters.
Right. Just the upper deck area.
The upper deck area. Yeah.
I've never seen CK so stressed as I've seen him at those State Theater shows.
Well, you got to deal with 800 of the 1,000 are probably drunk out of their minds. Just
ridiculous, ridiculous behavior.
I got sized for the backstage pass. You'd walk behind the curtain, back over there.
You like that access?
I love that access. You go upstairs with Mike O'Mara. Right.
But think about it. You have to deal with the ticketing. You have to deal with the venue. You have to deal with bands, probably multiple bands.
Right.
DJ. Then you have to organize, you have to wrangle all of the skits and bits that are on stage.
You have to herd us throughout all the announcements, people up when they're coming up.
Yes.
So I remember, obviously the Get Huge Club. I remember the bikini contest. Right, I think I fell in love backstage one time.
You were smitten
the
by
hottest chick I've ever seen was backstage at that contest. Right. And you had the Emerald contest.
They had the Emerald, and then you had the lesbian love seat.
What is that? Because I don't remember that. Is that the one with the BDK in a balloon?
No, that was the Crush It contest. Okay. So you're right.
The lesbian love seat is just a way of having women make out with each other on stage.
Could we have stolen more ideas from Howard Stern in the mid to late
80s? Basically, what you would do is you would go out in the crowd and you'd find a group of girls and you'd say, hey, we have $100 prize money. If you and your friend would make out with one another.
Right. And you see now why in 2022, we don't do this event anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. Minefields everywhere.
That's why it's now it's the fast food pinata with landfill. Right. 106.7 Live.
And then they're probably three drinks deep, and then you go find them. So now they're drinking more and more heavily because they're getting ready to make out with each other. And so you're ushering these women on stage, and they make out with each other, and then they go, where's my $100? And I said, go see CK.
Right. And the crowd is whipped into a frenzy at this point, and it's just chaos and madness.
Yeah, and then you had the Crush It contest, where a BDK and women are straddling a balloon,
right?
And it pops between them. Then we had the horse contest during the spring break party.
What's the horse contest? Yeah, I don't know.
The horse contest. It's always referenced on the show.
No, you're gonna have to. I don't think I know.
It was Brett's brainchild. Brett
and myself came
up. Yeah, you and Brett.
because we kept doing the bikini stuff, and we started. Saying,
you felt you want to equal opportunity for the guys.
How do we do stuff for the women that are there? And so we had guys put on whitey tighties and show their big bulge on stage.
Now, were they guys stuffing their briefs with socks?
No, they weren't stuffing, but they weren't going to beat this one guy. One guy had an anaconda in his pants.
I'm guessing there was
fascinated because he was like a short guy. He was 5'6". But he had a Louisville Slugger in his pants.
It looked like he had a cucumber in his pants.
Now, I'm guessing there wasn't all the hooting and hollering for the horse contest.
The horse contest and the Get Huge Club. Very homophobic.
That sounds like a big Owen Dukes event.
but that's where me, Blue Shorts, and Othello oiled each other up.
It was very homophobic.
I remember that.
And then we're flexing on stage from working out after 2 months.
Yeah, I've seen those photos. It's crazy how much people have changed.
Yes, thank you.
What does that mean?
That's what 10 years will do to you, bud.
Yeah, more like 2 for Adam.
but you think about it, there's all these moving parts, and that's why radio would have been good for the release party. And I'm upset with you a little bit.
Why?
Because I thought that you would be on my side.
I am on the, your side, but you always take these big victory laps when you get a little bit of attention.
I'm not doing any kind of victory lap.
You with the tank and the pig and the stogie.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I can't help it.
Hey, he had a good idea.
I had a good idea.
And brainchild.
He stole that idea from Twitter.
There
was a whole cartoon the night before the unveiling.
I did not steal that idea.
You stole the pig mascot idea of him in fatigues.
And the t-shirt tank? Where did I steal that from?
Everybody.
Master P?
Every arena's got a t-shirt cannon.
T-shirt tank. Not everyone has a tank. That's a unique angle.
And I'm the first one to say go commando. Too.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Look, it feels good. It feels good to be recognized, and especially recognized by someone like Jason Wright.
I did notice in that audio that we played on the show today that when the junkies were mentioned to Jason Wright,
I was separate.
No, until he heard the idea, he wasn't very warm on the junkies. They go, you know, the junkies, legendary show, and he goes, right. Yep. Because
yeah,
I think he's,
these, but,
I,
that
but then
idea.
He actually heard the idea and then he warmed up to it. I actually think I'm agreeing with EB today when we're talking about the Letterman jacket. I think he's mad at us.
He might be. I picked up on that a little bit. There was a little bit of coldness. Maybe.
He didn't say, yeah, love the junks.
It was like, oh, yeah, the junks.
Well, when I go out to dinner with Jason, I will repair that fractured relationship.
Rebuild that bridge, man. Please. Please do.
Yeah. Take me along.
Yeah. All right. And when me and you are high-fiving in our Letterman jackets, Eric's going to be very jealous.
All right, Cakes. Today on the show was a little bit of we are hearkening back to the glory days of music. Now, you and Valdez are big pop punk guys.
Oh, yeah.
Big pop punk.
You got early 2000s. You know, same genre.
And rock. I'd say rock, too. Hard rock.
Who's a hard rocker?
Well, like we talked about today, Slipknot.
Well, Slipknot. Tool. That's what I was going to say.
Big Tool guy.
The new metal. I call it new metal because I put Disturbed and Limp Bizkit and Linkin Park. They're all in the same category.
Papa Roach, bands
they're all in the same category. I get size.
Korn.
We were doing a System of a Down circle in the producer room today.
I was stunned that drab t-shirt, like his System of a Down knowledge went as far as it did. Like, I always think of him as somebody who's doesn't hate music, but is not like moved by music.
Not moved.
Well, you got to realize that that's our wheelhouse.
Right.
Like, that's when we're coming of age.
Sure. That's when you're the angriest and the most angsty.
That's like JP's public enemy, you know, like his late high school years or whatever it was. And
yeah, it's like us saying we should call him the Washington Toxicity.
Does Adam know any System of Down songs?
No, I know nothing about that. I grew up like Black Eyed Peas, Lil Wayne, Eminem. It was past my era.
Horrible upbringing you had.
I know, but what was the big rock song when you were in high school?
My Chemical Romance, I guess, had a couple.
Oh, Welcome to Black Parade. That's a big silly.
Yeah. Well, definitely, Weezer had a few. Beverly Hills. Woo! That's where I want to be.
Wait, what were your high school years?
7 to 11.
Oh. Yeah, that's at the end of Panic at the Disco's heyday. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's kind of that's a Nubs era. That's like Imagine Dragons era.
That's gross.
Can you imagine that's your rock?
I mean, I thought it was silly because for me, I liked hip hop. It was the growth of hip hop. Drake was invented. I mean, you look at hip hop right now, it's all started because of Drake and Lil Wayne, which became popular in 06, 07, 08.
I mean,
you mean singing hip-hop?
First of all, Lil Wayne I don't think is that popular anymore.
No, but Lil Wayne, you wouldn't have Drake without Lil Wayne. You wouldn't have Nicki Minaj without Lil Wayne. You wouldn't have
every,
all those.
But every era has their own. Like, we had, Valdez and I had Eminem and 50 Cent and Cakes had.
Drake will be greater than all of those combined. Do you understand how many? I mean, this isn't a music show, but Drake is
you're
the greatest.
Drake mark over here.
I rep the Jew card.
You realize Drake wouldn't be what he is without Nelly.
I don't know how that makes sense.
Because Nelly's the first rapper to actually sing.
Look at Valdez breaking up his rap.
You don't want to get into a music battle with these guys.
I guess not.
Even if it's about Drake.
I know.
Yeah. I'm not saying Drake's not good.
He beats me in Drake knowledge. That's about it.
Drake wouldn't be what he is without Kanye West. Because Kanye West was the first to sing. Kanye West wouldn't be what he is without Nelly. Because Nelly was the first to sing.
Okay.
Like, the growth of hip hop. I'm not going to be able to get that out of my head. I'm sorry.
But it's actually embarrassing that you don't have any kind of rock. You don't have a rock bone.
You know
in your
what?
Body.
It was silly. It was Numb Encore. The Jay-Z, Linkin Park.
You did
like
that.
It was six songs.
I actually did kind of like that.
That was, I was literally in middle school and I rocked out to that.
Oh, mashups. What a.
Do you guys remember the? Do you remember the Sprite mix tour? And it was early 2000s.
Okay,
and
who's the lineup?
Well, Jay-Z did this like 2 or 3 years in a row. It was Jay-Z and then a rock band.
Okay,
and Jay-Z was always the closer, but it was always the weirdest group of people at this concert. The year I went in Phoenix, it was 311 and Jay-Z, but all the 311 fans were furious that Jay-Z was performing. They kept calling him Gay-Z the entire time.
That's a Valdez special.
And then all the people there, all the people there to see Jay-Z hated the 311 fans. But the place was packed because. It was, you know, like it was like a Jiffy Lube. It was an outdoor place, and they don't do that really anymore.
I'm all about like putting different bands on the bills, but it is weird when you have two like just completely diametrically opposed fan bases in the same arena or same amphitheater.
Yeah, see Woodstock '99 as exhibit A.
Yeah,
did Jay-Z and Linkin Park, were they on the same song?
Yeah, they did like
they did a whole album together, six songs together.
Yeah.
Were any of them smash hits?
They were all smash hits, but they weren't originals. Jay-Z took
Faint.
He took his song and he basically did a line, and then the other guy did the chorus.
That's right.
They had 99 problems with whatever it was, because he came out with the Black Album the same time that like Hybrid Theory.
I mean, those mashups, they bring me squarely back to our HFS days, because that's when mashups were like big, like 03, 04.
Yeah,
that was the era of the mashup.
Who else did mashups? Any other bands?
I mean, I can't. The biggest ones were obviously Jay-Z and Linkin Park. I can't remember.
You got a computer in front of you.
Yeah.
All right. So who's better, Slipknot or System of a Down?
Oh, it's hard difficult. Because System had more pop hits, I feel like.
Yeah.
But Slipknot was harder.
Slipknot's definitely heavier.
I would say the better music in terms of technical stuff, Slipknot.
Don't they win Grammys? Doesn't Slipknot?
Yeah. The problem with Slipknot is there's like 10 of those guys, so they're chopping up that pie bunch of different ways.
I think there's 11 people in the band.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And they have like a 20-some piece drum set and two drummers and everything. Like it's
they've got a lot of
insane
overhead in that band.
Nice. Imagine if there were 11 junkies.
I mean, there's already enough being cut up at this point.
You're right. System of a Down, because Lonely Day, that was like a poppy song. I love that song.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah.
This is shocking. I think Drab has more System of a Down knowledge than I do.
I'm not tapped out.
What was the radio one that they had on Toxicity? They had
that was Hypocrisy, wasn't it? I think that was or Ariel's. I only know like four or five of their songs.
Real System of a Down OGs love Steal This Album. That's the one they love.
That's the follow up.
Yeah, that's the follow up.
See, I'm not a real OG because I don't even know what that is.
It's
a blind spot.
That's their harder stuff.
Okay.
That's mainstream.
Cakes now.
Chop Suey. That's what I was thinking.
Oh, Chop Suey. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I do guess. Now I know what I'm listening to on the way home today.
You think he's going to pull over on Route 50 right by Harris Teeter, pee in a cup, and listen to some system?
Now, on Sirius XM, is there a new metal station?
A new metal?
Or what? You know, like.
Why are you still wasting your money on Sirius XM?
Because I'm an idiot.
What are you doing?
It was actually, I'm just about to renew because my Christmas.
renew?
My Christmas present from my dad was a year subscription to Sirius XM.
Oh my god!
What is this? 2010?
Your dad got you a $60 Christmas present. I mean, you can literally get access to Sirius XM for $5 a month. I mean, I like Papa Cahill's. He's got the tight purse strings. I like that.
I bet you he renewed his, and then he got one for free.
I got butt size. That's one less bill for me.
Right, of course.
You think I'm not sized?
They have lithium.
That's what it is. And because I know that, I thought that was the alternative channel.
No, that's Alt Nation. That's with Madison.
All right, I got you. Usually, I'll be honest, usually I ride in silence. Silence is number one. Two, if I'm not on TikTok.
You drive and you don't listen to the radio or podcast or use.
On the drive in the morning,
listen to nothing.
I just scroll through Twitter.
He's such a bad influence. He's such a bad influence.
By the way, especially today when it's raining cats and dogs.
There was a lot of puddle skidding today. I wasn't really paying attention.
I'm the same way where I like I put on actually.
Valdez, you're bitter that he didn't scroll through the your Twitter DM to bring your phone this morning.
You sent that at 5:17. I was already walking in here. I saw the time stamp on it.
You ignored that.
I didn't see it until I sat down here.
All you do is scroll through social media, and I sent you my plea to grab my phone.
We were already out of the car by then.
Okay. I was already in the studio, too, when he asked me. I don't check my Twitter until I get inside.
But I'm with you. I like to put on country.
Well, you listen to country in the morning.
I listen to country.
Nice and easy. You need something to wake you up, though.
No.
Unless it's like Florida Georgia Line.
No. I like easy listening when I'm riding in. I like to sip my coffee, contemplate life
as
I drive in. Yeah.
I only listen to country when I'm working out.
What?
You should be listening to Slipknot. When you
I know, but I listen to Toby Keith.
Right.
Like, How Do You Like Me Now? Tim McGraw. You know, just like the pump up country songs. Right. You
know? I didn't know that was a genre. That was a thing.
The pro America ones.
Yeah. That's the only time I listen to country.
The Patriot Drab selection.
How are you listening to country?
I don't know. That's my sweet spot. When Tim McGraw sings, I like it, I love it, I hit that the final 2 minutes of my on the treadmill.
He likes to listen to Tractor Sexy, throwing Drabby Sexy as he's working out.
Yeah, very, very Caucasian in my playlist these days. Were these just nominees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
These are just the nominees. And
did Disturbed did not get nominated?
I did not hear Disturbed on the list during the EP.
The other thing that caught my ear during it.
Isn't the guy's name something Drummond?
Dave Draymond. I think it's Dave Draymond's the lead singer.
Why does JP have, what is his axe to grind against Matchbox 20 and Rob Thomas?
I don't know.
Genius.
First of all, anybody Valdez and age and above knows what Rob Thomas looks like. I didn't like that he say Rob Thomas wouldn't recognize him at the grocery store.
Everyone knows what Rob Thomas looks like.
He was a sex symbol in the late 90s.
He was a huge sex symbol.
Yeah, he had the earrings.
This is my take on JP's musical. I think he's very closed off when it comes to like music. Like he likes exactly what he likes. He's not open to a lot of different.
He likes Ricky
genres.
Martin.
Ricky Martin and Public Enemy. Yeah.
He likes Public Enemy. He likes Disturbed. You brought them up.
Disturbed. Yeah. He loves Disturbed.
I don't know. He's kind of weird musically. Like I don't think he's like open to a lot of different genres. Like I'm kind of eclectic. I'll listen to pop punk, metal, you know, rock.
Anything
but
rap.
Some pop. I mean, I don't get that much into rap. I'll listen a little bit, but not
country,
a lot.
What's your stance on country cakes?
Country I've warmed up to more as I've gotten a little bit older.
I think that's what happens when everyone gets older. Because Jason loves Eric Church.
Yeah.
Eric is listening to Old Dominion.
Yeah.
Cakes is listening to country.
Trying to think.
I'm in on the country bandwagon. Drab's working out to country.
Oh, who's my guy? Is it Luke Combs?
Luke Combs.
That's my guy. Yeah. That's my dog right there.
I do like Luke Combs.
Yeah. I do like Luke Combs.
You know why I like Luke Combs? He's got a smoking hot wife, and he's just a big fatty.
He looks like he should be an offensive line coach in the SEC.
And he strikes me too as a guy who just enjoys like all of the redneck toys. Like he probably has 10 ATVs.
Oh yeah.
Probably has 20 Sea-Doos.
He's probably got
Silly Lake House somewhere.
He's probably got an armory of guns. He goes out and shooting with.
I get sized for Beer Never Broke My Heart from Luke Combs. That is a silly song.
Beer Never Broke My Heart. Yeah. Yeah.
He said football team, diamond rings, let me down.
I might have to listen to some Luke Combs sillies on my way home.
Hey, I want to put together. We should put together. You know what we should do after this? We should put together a Spotify playlist
for all of our biddies.
All the songs.
Bit Season should have a Spotify playlist.
All the songs mentioned on Bit Season.
All the songs that we get sized for. that right. were mentioned in this show today. And then that way everyone can go back and after they listen to the show and after they listen to the junks, mm-hmm. they can go through and listen to that.
I think if you like music at all, I don't care if you like country or hate it, and you listen to When It Rains, It Pours by Luke Combs, yeah, and you don't think that's a smashola, a 15 out of 10, then I don't know if I can hang out.
What's the duet he does? He does a duet one where he's talking about a wraparound porch and a citronella torch.
Oh, really? Yeah, that gets me keep the skeeters away on a warm summer night.
I don't know that one. Sounds silly, though.
That's you, just right love, you just love having tiki torches blazing in your backyard.
Now, Cakes, EB said today on the show that Matchbox 20 has 4 or 5 smash hits. That's I only know two. Off the top of my head, I only know 3 a.m. and Push. What am I missing?
The newer one, was in it like Let's See How Far We've Come?
That's definitely one.
They have new music?
It's new words.
Is it Her Diamonds? Is that a Rob Thomas solo or is that Matchbox 20? That might be Rob Thomas out of his own.
Yeah, he had some of his own. You're right.
There's another one. Unwell
is a hit.
You're getting a little slice for my musical.
You do have a vast knowledge. Thank you. Who's better? Matchbox 20. I always get these guys, not confused, but I put them in the same category.
I do like the who's better bit.
Okay, who's better?
Yeah.
Matchbox 20 or Train?
Matchbox 20.
But Cakes loves Train, or at least Amy does.
It's closer than you think, because I went out to Vegas a few years back with Amy to go see OAR, who was opening for Train.
Right.
And we were borderline like, we don't even need to stick around for Train. We'll just go out and have a few drinks, whatever.
And then of a sudden you hear Drops of Jupiter.
I mean, they have sight. So many smashes. And is it Patrick Monahan? Yes. Is that the lead singer?
Yes.
Great showman. He did a song that basically had us almost crying and weeping to each other like a slow tearjerker bit. feels big time.
They were really good. Kids.
I'd probably give the nod to Matchbox, but it's like 60-40. Close.
What are the other Train songs besides Drops of Jupiter?
Hey, Soul Sister.
Just a big smashola.
And then they have Meet Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
Is that 50 Ways You're Gonna Die or something?
I think
like,
so,
that's,
yeah, yeah.
That's a big one, too.
They had the thing I like about them is they had like a hit or a couple hits, and then like 15 years went by, and then they had some more hits. That's what I like about them.
You thought
them.
They were just going to fade away, but they've had some longevity drives. Yeah. As
you know who loves Train?
Who?
Howard Stern.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he's a huge Train fan. And when Train got a Grammy, they thanked Howard. Or they said, they thanked Howard personally.
Nice. I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No. Is the Train?
And you can listen. Doesn't Pat Monahan do shows on that?
Yeah, when Howard does one of his
Train tracks.
When Howard does one of his 36 shows during the year, he can call in and ask about it.
Pat Monahan, that's his name.
Yep. I believe so. Yeah.
I guess size for lead singers.
Of course you do. Who wouldn't? Lead singers, they're the central focal point of the band. They're the stars of the band.
Now, these bands, I always think about this, like Blink 182.
Sure.
How do they find so many silly band members at such a young age? Like, is it just luck, or are they searching each other out? Like Travis Barker, some people say he's like the best drummer of the last 20 years.
Travis Barker was in another band before he went with...
I think a lot of it is, I'm no expert, but I think a lot of the bands, especially when they're young, like... A lot of times, like, they'll have one or two members that just kind of suck, and then they're looking to poach other bands for their silly members.
So what happens is, and if you would know this if you listen to 60 Songs That Explain the 90s, which is probably the best podcast besides ours out there.
Nice.
but basically, what happens is all of these people, they're mowing through bands. They're trying to find a band that hits, and then it's like an all-star team. So you're taking the best drummer from this other band and inviting him to come join you and replace some nubber that you had before.
So how do you replace the guy? You just say, sorry, it's not working out?
Go to him and say, come join our band instead of the losers that you're playing with.
Yeah.
Sounds like the pick of destiny.
Well, like Metallica, way back in the day, they had a nubs bassist, and they went to a club gig and they saw Cliff Burton performing with another band, and they said, well, this guy has to be in our band. Like, he's got the it that we need. They recruited him. Boom, he's in the band.
But that's different than a super group. Because
that's when the guys have been jaded for 30 years in the business, and they try to all get together and do the super group, and it never hits.
Yeah, it would be like, it would be like this. It would say,
Who cares about Chickenfoot? Does anybody listen to Chickenfoot with Sammy Hagar?
It'd be like, Bit Season's good, but Cakes is going to replace Adam, so that now Bit Season is better.
I got
it. That's debatable.
Adam's our Ringo Starr.
Yeah. I'm plot size for that.
He looks like
he finally got a music reference.
That's funny.
Yeah, I forgot that Adam liked the Beatles.
I get so sorry. He still loves
them. Because Morty likes them.
Because Morty likes them because I watched the documentary. Yeah.
Oh, that terrible documentary that came out a couple minutes ago.
Get back.
Everybody just says it's the best documentary ever.
Well, EB said that.
No, I'm kind of being sarcastic.
Oh, because you hated it too, right?
No, I haven't watched it. I feel like I should, but I haven't watched the first episode.
Boring. Number one, you need subtitles because you can't understand anything.
But I'm a big fan of subtitles.
And number two, look, I like the Beatles. I'm a big Beatles mark.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that great.
It's good if you like the Beatles, but you didn't know much about them. That's why I'm liking it.
I feel I know enough about... I don't know everything about the Beatles, but I know enough. I feel like at this point, I know all I need to know about the Beatles.
I actually should probably watch the last one so I can watch the concert, but that's about it.
Concert's actually the nubbiest part. They literally play Don't Let Me Down and Get Back on repeat. It's like, what are they doing?
That was their final concert?
Yeah. They played Get Back 4 times in a row.
Well, this is their hit song. Yeah.
Hey, what is it when what did Naughty by Nature do? They played.
Oh, they did OPP. They opened with OPP at one of the HF festivals, and they closed with OPP. Smart. Play the hits. Play what people came to see. I don't have a problem with that.
Cakes, are you when you watch Netflix? Are you subtitles all the time now? No matter whenever you watch TV,
I'm basically subtitles on everything except like if I'm watching the Caps game.
Sports, yeah.
Yeah, I don't watch it with Caps or
I'm the same way now.
Are you reading them or is it just
I like it because you're a second ahead of the TV show. You can read faster than they're talking, so you kind of know what's happening right before.
Yeah, but why do you want to read?
Yeah.
Like TV is supposed to be
for me, it augments the audio because I always have a ringing in my ears. My hearing's not that great. Okay, I'll be honest. If I miss something or if God forbid it's like heavy, thick, like British accents, you need it. I need it for that.
Yeah, for accents,
you need it. Game of Thrones, I can't watch 5 minutes of it without subtitles.
I'll be honest, in 1883, I only understand about half of what Sam Elliott's saying. He's like so thick and deep, like the subtitles, they're tremendous.
Yeah, it's a necessity.
It really is.
It's no longer a luxury for me. It's a necessity.
It just makes it easier to comprehend.
Well, you just said you're the one you're using it so that you're.
I also like being a little bit ahead.
Do you notice mistakes when you're watching it?
No, never.
Really?
Why, you do?
Oh yeah. Because most of the time it's like computer generated.
Well, no, that's if it's live TV. I think they have editors for the Netflix shows.
Yes. Most of them, but not all of them, yeah. And I've seen mistakes.
I've been actually watching a lot of Spanish programming on Netflix recently.
Give me one show.
What do you mean multicultural drag over here?
No. I like food and food shows on Netflix, and they have a bunch of them. And so there's a whole series about street food in Mexico or something. Okay. I blew through all the episodes this weekend.
Street tacos, aren't those the big thing?
Don't they have one now for like China or?
Yeah, it's called Midnight Asia.
Yeah, Midnight Asia. It makes drag think about moving to Singapore.
Yeah. That's exactly what it did.
Food porn around the world.
So I was watching this one on Mexico this past weekend, and they were just the gluttony of food, the crap that they're eating there. Uh-huh. And then they have one with their drinks and everything. They love what do you call it? The clamata? When you have the juices and the beer together. The whole thing there is now just putting as much crap into a beer as possible. gummy bears, sugar, vodka.
Cake's been crushing those gummy bears the entire time.
Anyway, so it's like chopping it? Like a chelada?
Chelada, yeah. But they're like street cheladas. And so, I don't know. It's
like an LSD.
The whole bit was to be as wacky as possible with them. And so, anyway, it was Spanish programming that it was dubbed over. I was enjoying it.
And so you had the subtitles on too?
And hey, I get goofed on for watching a lot of worthless TV.
I was in quarantine.
Okay.
I'd reached the end of Netflix. I was at the end of Netflix.
Okay.
Did you watch the Midnight Asia one too?
I watched the first episode of them in Tokyo. I get sized for Tokyo.
Why?
It's big and clean, and they're weirdos.
And super crowded, crowded.
But it was about Tokyo at night, okay. So it didn't seem as crowded.
Right.
Japan, full of weirdos.
Right.
These guys are driving Lamborghinis with, like, neon lights everywhere. I get sized for the truckers all the truckers in Japan, their bit is to decorate their semi-trucks in lights. Like, weird neon lights all over the place.
I kind of like
it's
that.
It's like a show they put on.
So when they're driving around at night, it looks like
a lot about the world through Netflix.
It looks like Tokyo Drift.
The semi truck thing wasn't in on Netflix. Okay. Just something I retained over the years. You don't think the Japan people, Japanese, aren't interesting people?
I know that they're always ahead of the curve.
They're weirdos.
They're more efficient.
They're intriguing.
They're more efficient.
Very efficient. Very efficient. They get sized to work 80 hours a week.
Hey, I know a Japanese guy who's about to get traded away from the Wizards. He loves things ruined.
I know oranges are very rare.
they're hard to find oranges in Japan.
Is that true? Seinfeld bit.
Oh, okay. You know what? That one, that was over my head. Valdez is, he has a lot of Seinfeld bits. I'm starting to forget a lot about Seinfeld, I think.
I know that they sleep in Carl Fargman armoires.
Okay, I got that one.
He's got a lot of Seinfeld residue in the brain.
The armoire.
Nice, timely Seinfeld reference. Cakes, I was, you were talking, you always think about you whenever I watch sitcoms, because now I never used to pay attention to laugh tracks.
Have I gotten into your brain
now? But
now
you're in my brain, and I can't watch sitcoms anymore, not because I don't enjoy the laugh track, because I'm just thinking about Cakes hating the laugh track.
Hey, just because I hate it, look, if you enjoy sitcoms with laugh tracks, yuck it up.
But I never really thought about them before.
I never thought about it either.
There's something about it, because my experience watching Seinfeld is ruined because of the laugh track.
I know. I was flipping through the channels. I saw Tim Allen.
Yeah.
And I go, I love Tim Allen. And it's that show, Still Talking or Still Standing. Okay.
Still Barking.
Whatever it is, right? I watched it for like 10 seconds of him, the sporting goods store that he runs.
Right.
And it was laugh after laugh. And I thought of Cakes the whole time. And I was like, I can't do this. I got to find something else.
I honestly,
you didn't find it funny. We went, oh,
I don't want to admit this, but I used to watch stupid Big Bang Theory like every week with my wife a decade ago. We would watch it. And then somebody, I think probably on Twitter, was like, hey, idiot. You think Big Bang Theory is funny? Here's a clip of it without the sweetener, without the laugh track. Yeah, yeah. And I watched it. And you know what? Sheldon and company, not that funny.
Not
and
funny.
It was an epiphany. It was a wake-up call to realize that I could be better with my comedy TV viewing.
Funniest show out there doesn't have a laugh track. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I've never watched 1 minute of that show.
I haven't either. I feel like I probably should. It's hard with all the TV I'm watching elsewhere.
Very funny. Politically incorrect.
Great acting.
You know what? I never liked Danny DeVito.
You would like him in this.
Never.
You know who I do like, though? I do like Charlie Day.
Charlie Day is funny.
So I feel like I should watch it just because of him.
Cakes, you would actually love it.
I need to watch it.
I think you have Hulu, don't you?
Of course I have Roy Hallou Jr. Of course I have Roy Hallou Jr.
I think they have all the seasons.
Yeah. Well, then I should watch it. I should be watching that.
My only thing I know about Philadelphia, It's Always Sunny, is the meme of, I think it's Charlie Day, in the room pointing to like all the clues. Yeah,
it's one of the top 10 used memes on the internet.
That's my entire frame of reference It's Always Sunny.
He cleans the bar and huffs paint.
If you think he's not funny in Horrible Bosses with Jason Bateman just doing his, Jason Bateman thing, You're crazy, because that's a funny movie, and Charlie Day kind of carries it.
I saw Jason Bateman in D.C. today.
What?
Or yesterday. I don't know. There's like the
new season of Ozarks in D.C.?
No, there's a TMZ guy who lives in D.C.
Uh-huh.
And he's on Twitter. Somebody retweeted him, and he was taking a picture with Jason Bateman yesterday looking so silly.
Can you imagine if we did a surprise guest Who Am I thing with Jason Bateman?
Oh, it'd be fantastic.
Well, wouldn't it be easy to figure out it's him?
Probably.
We'd get it within 5 seconds.
I think he's got a very distinct voice.
I think
voice.
Lurch would get a boner for the first time in 10 years.
Jason Bateman would probably would.
Hey, what do you think about Teresa hitting up Jason for tickets to country shows at Verizon Center? Kappa One or whatever it's called.
You know what? Jim Van Stone was...
He's just being used and abused by Cakes and Jason.
I do. I feel bad. So I do make a... Probably too many requests. I feel like I need to. I feel like it's a one way street. Now, I feel like I need to do something for him.
No, sorry.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm getting over my cold here. Cakes, does Amy ever directly ask you for tickets to events?
Does Amy ever ask?
Yeah,
no.
Because he said Teresa asked for the tickets.
Yeah, Teresa asked.
That's very bold in my opinion.
By the way, not two tickets for her and her girlfriend. Yeah, four tickets.
That's a big ask.
That's a big one. Four tickets.
I don't understand why it's a big ask. I mean. That's, you know, that's his wife. It's not like a friend, you know, and she puts up with him for 25 years, getting up early in the morning.
We don't work for the Wizards.
Yeah.
We don't work for Cap One. We the only connection we have to them is that we're locally famous.
Right. But I mean, I don't see the difference between a wife asking for tickets and kids asking for tickets. You know, it's family.
That's because you asked Jim Van Stone for tickets. And which was the embarrassment of all embarrassments for us.
Did he come through? I bet he came through.
I'm still waiting to hear back.
Oh, you are?
He never wrote you back?
No.
Oh, thank
no,
God.
I never actually wrote him.
Oh, thank God.
Okay. Well, then he's not going to write you back if you never wrote him.
I know.
What were the tickets for? What did you want?
No. He wanted Wizards tickets on the floor so that he could take his dad.
Yeah, on my birthday.
On his birthday.
Oh, that's right.
He basically used every single angle he could. Birthday, dad.
See, that's where I would feel guilty is, look, I feel sheepish enough asking him for tickets for anything, but I would feel, I can't go to Jim Van Stone and say, hey, Jim, I'd love to go to the Caps game. By the way, can I have seats on the glass? You know, like, I'm not going to make that extra ask.
Yeah, but then
you get what you get.
Yeah, but then how did your daughter get tickets from Jim Van Stone?
My daughter?
Yeah, didn't you say your daughter?
I asked. Oh.
Okay.
But is Juliet coming to you and saying, hey, Dad, can you ask Jim for tickets to this
event? No. She'll say, hey, she'll be like, hey, can I get two tickets to a Caps game at some point?
And you're like, I'm not paying.
Okay. Okay. All right.
And, yeah. And you know, like, I'll figure out what day, and then I'll ask Jim. That's a lot different.
I'm envisioning Teresa going up to Jason saying, hey,
looking at the Capital One Arena schedule.
Exactly.
And circling concerts she wants to go to.
For front row seats. That she wants are really great tickets because she knows that Jason will ask Jim. I don't know. It's kind of.
Look, here's what I need.
I'm just a little jealous.
I'm Team Teresa. She should ask for whatever she wants.
I've never asked.
Lurch is the king.
I've asked twice.
I have asked.
Well, I shouldn't. You've asked. Oh, you went to the Migos concert or something.
No, I went to Post Malone and then I asked for Bad Bunny tickets.
Oh, Bad Bunny. That's who it was.
That's upcoming. I still we need to coordinate.
Here, Valdez, you know why I don't like that? Because I will ask for tickets every once in a while, but I like to ask the communication guys. I like having my own hookups. So I'll ask Sergey if I want Caps tickets.
Ah, right. You have a different hookup.
Yeah, because that's the relationship I fostered over the years.
You cultivated it.
They're not going to be silly. They're not going to be as silly.
They're not going to be the Cakes.
I'll be blocked by Varlamov.
When Jim Van Stone hooks me with tickets, like, they're not on the glass. Well, they ain't far from the glass. They're like the last game I went to, and I think I brought my whole family. It was at least four tickets, probably 12 rows back from the glass. Like, amazing tickets.
Right.
Like, tickets that I would have killed for when I was a kid. You know, I never imagined I would have this sort of access when I was older. But, yeah, I mean, he's gone above and beyond.
Cakes didn't even have to wear his glasses. It was that close.
My glasses. You're probably right. At least not for the action at that end of the ring.
Now, I will say, the best seats I've ever had in my entire life came from Jason Bishop. Because last year, or 2 years ago, I guess right before COVID hit, I sat on the glass. I did sit on the glass for a Caps game because somebody gave Jason tickets and he couldn't go.
Right. And shocker, Jason had a rich guy who had tickets right on the glass.
The guy must be worth $50 million.
Right. Well, it must be his BFF Carl who he goes to Pebble with.
It may have been Carl. It may have been his. He owned some company.
Yeah.
And it was the silliest experience of my life.
Right. It's amazing, right? Being that close.
Were you like putty? up on the glass.
I was kind of nervous to do that. Look like an idiot.
Don't act like you've been there before. Don't bang on the glass. Yeah. I've never sat on the glass, I'm gonna be reserved and not bang on the glass like a dog.
On the glass. I know you would. Yeah. That's why you.
Shocker, another Seinfeld reference.
That's but funny. It's tough to get through an episode these days without a Seinfeld reference from Valdez.
I like Seinfeld.
Well, Cakes, we appreciate you sitting in here. We don't want to keep you any longer. It's been close to an hour here. So it's our second episode of the week. And by the way, Valdez and I have been talking about doing more of these more than once a week. So we're going to try. We got to get permission and we got to see how our calendar looks.
More bits. The bit season double down.
Well, we're hoping more bits leads to more sponsors.
More sponsors means more money.
More live reads.
Speaking of sponsors, Magnolia Admissions offers coaching on the college and law school application process, from mock interviews to help with personal statements. One of our biddies, Dave, runs Magnolia Admissions. He graduated from an Ivy League school. We still don't know which one. We'll find out. Conducted admission interviews for over 15 years and has reviewed thousands of applications as an admissions committee member. So make sure your love one doesn't turn into cakes and only get accepted into Towson. Hey,
visit slander, libelous
Towson State.
That's right. Visit magnoliaadmissions.com and mention Bit Season for a listener discount. So check them out, Magnolia Admissions.
And by the way, I'm going to work on our Bit Season Spotify episode 20 Spotify playlist. Oh,
Let's put Richmond John stuff on there too, so they can listen to the theme song. And didn't he do like a Christmas version too?
He did do a Christmas version.
Sized.
All right. Yeah, we'll put that together.
I don't know how to put that on Spotify.
I think might already upload your own music. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how to do that either.
Richmond John probably knows, but
we'll figure it out. All right, guys. Thanks to all you guys for listening. Have a great weekend, and we will see you on the Junkies.
Happy trails.
Later.